Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, horseman and author Chris Lombard.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest Chloe. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am excited about tonight's show in a very particular way. I'm always excited about the Life Changes show. This tonight, though, I discovered something that I found very interesting, or maybe I didn't discover it tonight. Maybe I started putting it together tonight in a different way. There's a change going on. and I'm kidding, but I'm serious. I'm serious, and I'm seeing it everywhere. And maybe because I've changed, or maybe because there are so many changes going on in the world. I have always liked deep conversations and deeper, and I've cultivated people in my life, friends and neighbors and acquaintances that I could do that with, and the show. And so I think every conversation we've had on the show has been deep. In the past, we used to have people say, would it be okay to talk about this, something deep or something esoteric or something spiritual? And we'd have to say, absolutely, we're the Life Changes show. You could certainly talk about that. Or we would feel that they could talk about something and we would guide them there. Today it hit me where we have an interview guest who, gosh, has been, he's a horseman and he's connected with horses since he was a child, and he helps people connect with horses and in a fascinating way connect with themselves and the horses. And I'll let him describe that more and better. Our performance guest is a YouTube influencer, turned singer. She has been on YouTube ever since she was 14 years old, grew up practically in front of the camera, and amassed millions of followers and millions of more views, and turned her attention to her greatest joy, music. And she too has many stories, and I hope we get to hear some of them tonight. They're delightful. She's delightful. And as exciting as all that is, I find it fascinating and wonderful that amongst all the things that they could talk about and that they specifically said they wanted to talk about, both of them had unconditional love almost at the top of the list. They wanted to talk about unconditional love and growth and expansion and consciousness and conscientiousness. I'm moved by that, and I'm excited.
Yeah, maybe we should, maybe we're onto something. Maybe we should do a show about change, Filippo. No more horsing around. Oh, wait, today's about horsing.
Oh, no.
I'm so excited to have both of our guests. And Chris, I had the good fortune of being a student and coming across him or being introduced to him through Sapphire Sanctuary and Esther Bernstein and the horse rescue and the work that he was doing to help us learn how to listen and, more importantly, learn how to show up, because showing up was directly reflected by these beautiful friends of ours, the horses. So I'm excited for everything that we're going to learn about tonight.
I feel like I got a mini course, minus the horse, unfortunately, and I look forward to that someday when I got to talk to Chris for the first time today. Our episode is The Heart and Spirit of Horses, Set Souls Free. It's our episode 799. And our interview guest is horseman and author Chris Lombard. Chris, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hello, Felipe. Hello, Mark. It's good to be here.
Good to have you here, Chris. And I, you probably could tell, well, from the monologue and also from our conversation, that I was moved by so much of what you said, and what you do as you described it, and the experiences that people have as you help them have it along with the horses. Before we get into that, I'm curious, because this we did not talk about, I wanted to keep it fresh. As a child, what did you know? How did you know that this was the direction?
Well, as a young person, I guess it started off just with a feeling of connection for animals. There was something in their presence, a peace, a contentment, something that was neither in the past nor the future, but it was in the present moment and really whatever was going on. You know, they would have fears, they'd even have pains, they'd have worries and anxieties, just like humans, but they also seemed to have some sort of a contentment and an acceptance, a wholeness, a living wholly, no matter what was going on. And they were fearlessly themselves. Animals are always fearlessly themselves. So it gives you permission to be fearlessly yourself too, and to be seen for your authentic self. And there was a peace that came from that. And later in my life, when going through a challenging time and met horses and felt that same contentment in their space, I just knew I had to follow that first and foremost for myself, you know, for myself, and then wanting to help others in their own connections with horses later in life. That came, you know, after focusing on how they could help me first.
And did you share this with any, because so much of what we're talking about, though it has been around a few years, and maybe people have known it forever, but most of us, I think, did not know. So did you share this with people, and how did they respond at the time?
No, it was an inner journey, and it was one that was very innocent at the moment. It was one that was, at the time, you know, I thought I was going through one of the most challenging times of my life in my mid-20s. I thought it was the worst time of my life, honestly. I thought my life had gone downhill in the biggest way that it could. And looking back at it now, I see how I wouldn't have followed that inspiration and that connection with horses if everything in my life had stayed in place the way it was. I wouldn't have searched for anything new or challenging or different. I wouldn't have left what was normal. I wouldn't have left what was safe. And so looking back at it now, all these things that I thought were catastrophic, all this change, all the change that was scary and everything, Filippo, I really thought that I wanted it to go away. I wanted it to go away. And it wasn't until the horses helped me to inspire me to follow them that I could see that there was an opportunity there there was an opening, there was a clean break with the previous incarnation of who I was, that I could step into something really cleanly, innocently, and follow it. And that was when I packed everything I could into my car. You know, I had a 1991 Pontiac Grand Prix, packed what I needed into it and drove west. I lived in Maine at the time, and I just drove west with the idea I was going to work with horses and work on horse ranches and that somebody would give me a shot. And that led to 2 years and working on three different ranches, and came back to Maine a changed man.
Wow. Wow. You gave a bit of a history of a perspective on how some men and women and maybe all of this civilization at the time looked at horses, and then you went into potentially the change. So let's talk about the past.
Yeah, we're living in a time right now. The world as a whole is going through a great shift. There's a lot of things in flux, and the world of horses is in flux right along with that. And as we talked about earlier today, I really believe 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 years from now that historians will look back at this time, this transition from the 20th century to the 21st century is one of the greatest shifts, and maybe even the greatest shift possible in the history of horses and humanity. For 6,000 years, horses have been connected to humanity really through survival. Horses have been our engines. They have provided for us as far as farming, as far as travel, as far as winning wars and battles, as far as providing food, even. And horses that were focused on being just that did not allow humanity to think about connection and relationship and friendship with horses, and did not have the time to think about horses emotionally and how they thought about things and how they were experiencing life during that time. They were a beast of burden. They were a beast of burden right there. And it was tied right to humanity's, it was about survival. It's very innocent. It was about survival. And it was right tied to humanity's big push in the doing, making, building, getting, achieving, strengthening, steadying, that sort of push that humanity had just to create a safety about itself, a stability about itself. And what also happens with that, when it gets out of balance, that sort of energy, it turns very forceful. Turns very intimidating, and it turns very dominating. And that's a word we hear a lot in our work with animals, domination. When it goes down a certain road too far, it turns into domination. And that's what it was. And if I had a family on the frontier or in any developing culture around the world, and I needed to get somewhere to help my family's survival, I wasn't really going to be in a place where I could take the time to create a connection and relationship with the horse and be in touch and connected with how they felt about it and honoring that. If that horse couldn't do it, I can see why people thought, well, we just got to find a horse that can. We got to put survival first against everything. And as we know, when we're in survival mode, the connective mode side of us, the emotional understanding mode side of us, that parasympathetic nervous system side of us, which we let our guard down, and we're able to look inward. That all takes a back seat. That all takes a back seat. But what's happening now, though, and is that the modern engine has been invented, the engine machinery. And so for most cultures around the world, most first and second world cultures, the engine has taken over as far as producing the strength that the horse used to produce for us. And so humanity's able to slow down. That's such a key thing right there. Slow down and not just take a look inward at the horse and how they might be feeling and thinking and going through and the similarities, the universal language we share for them. But we're also able to slow down and look inside ourselves too, as far as what connecting with horses and being in the presence of horses and how we work with horses. What that brings out in us, what that shows us about us. And so it's moving real fast as far as what we're experiencing with horses and learning through our connection with horses and learning how we can work with horses in partnership, in relationship, in full-blown connection and friendship, where it's very much an equal of receiving back and forth. And it's becoming a very beautiful time, a beautiful time. There's still a lot of work to do, but a very beautiful time as far as what we're seeing around the world with humanity and horses and the relationship between them.
As people are changing, or as their focus is changing to things that they have, either more passion about, or they're getting more in touch with their emotions. And there are those that don't understand why this is happening. And there could be many reasons, but one reason I've used is exactly what you said. When we're in survival mode and we're out on the ranch or the farm and things have to get done, otherwise people don't get fed and et cetera, then there wasn't the time or the know-how or the tools to say, "How are you doing today?" It sounds funny when I say that. And so now you use that example about the horses as well. And so here we are coming together where that, "How are you doing today?" That's important also because, as I'm learning from you, the horse knows how you're doing today. So you better, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said there, Filippo. The human beings tend to, when we're coming from that self-preservation side of us, as we talked about, we tend to love to compare. We tend, and that leads to judging. And we tend to do it first and foremost on ourselves. You know, we tend to really put ourselves through a lot of hardship that way. And then, of course, you know, our relationship with ourselves is then mirrored into the outside world with others, friends, family, other humans, and we'll compare, we'll judge. You know, we'll want to make sure that we're worth something. You know, we want to feel like we're when we compare that we come up on the good side of things, so we're worth something and all of that. And nowhere else, you know, can we really see that a lot is when human beings also look at animals around the world? Because a lot of human beings, in ways both conscious and subconsciously, will feel that humans are on a higher level than animals. And I look at animals' body, yes, it's very different. And I look at their minds, yes, they're very different. But those are the same differences that we'll see human to human. No two brains are alike, no two bodies are alike. And I think we're learning to view difference as not something that scares us, but unites us. And we deeply are learning how to celebrate differences, and that differences are truly one of the things that makes us so infinitely beautiful, to all the infinite difference that's available out there. And so I look at horses, and yes, minds are different, bodies are different for sure. However, there's this shared universal language, and beyond that, a universal knowing that is in the presence of animals and certainly in the presence of horses. Vocalization sounds is the last form of communication that horses use. But yet humans, it's our first. But yet we're constantly communicating in our body language, yes, in our energy, in our presence, in our being, in our thoughts. You know, we're never not communicating. And horses and their presence, more than helping us to learn that, they help us to remember that. They help us to get back in touch that. They reignite those lights within where we realize how silence, not just sometimes, but many times, has the loudest voice. And just standing in the presence of a horse, you can have a full-blown conversation. And the thing about that conversation, though, is it's very much attached to you inwardly. Inwardly. So you learn about your inner presence, your inner voice, your inner feelings, certainly, and your emotions, definitely. And they all come to the surface. They all come to the surface. And what's beautiful about, you know, animals and horses, definitely, is that's what they want. They want the whole you. They want you to fearlessly be yourself. They don't want you to be afraid of yourself, and they don't understand it when you're trying to hide yourself. Yeah, and if you are also able to surrender at that moment and let go of trying to prove anything or holding on to anything, old stories from the past that are heavy on your back, or worries and anxieties about some future you're hoping for that you'll think will be better than now, if you're able to let go of that and be in the moment, then you'll find an equality of being with horses and a presence. And you'll find something that after a while, you'll not be able to describe it in any other way other than saying love, love, unconditional love for just who you are. And if they help us to kind of point us back to that feeling when we discover it in there, then they also show us what's getting in the way of us just giving that to ourselves. Because when all this stuff comes up, when it gets, you know, when horses are frustrating us or not doing what we want or showing us things that are really messy. Well, just like everywhere else in life, we have a habit of blaming the horse. We have a habit of blaming the outside world for what it's bringing out of us, and we want the outside world to change so we don't have to feel that discomfort. But when we're able as the human to sit with that, to truly sit with that and see that it's our interconnection to ourselves that's producing our outward journey, then you don't even have to try to connect to the horse. You realize it's already there. Realize it's already there. That a being in your presence that's with you, supporting you as you're going through that. Yeah, the connection that's already there between you and the whole world, this plane emerges.
Well, we heard that word unconditional love, and now we're going to talk about that feeling when we come back. I hope Chris will share a story in about that experience that he had. And you actually could see a video of what he's going to talk about after he talks about it. You can go to chrislombard.com, and it's just as it sounds, Chris Lombard, LOMBARD.com. After our conversation with Chris, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then we are joined by Chloe Feldman live here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition. She will perform for us. All on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world to raise awareness about the issues we face and most of all to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our guest is horseman and author Chris Lombard. He has a couple books in which he talks about his journey, Land of the Horses, and the other is The Horses in Our Stars. And his title, Horseman, and author, I asked Chris, I had a sense that horse whisper did not work for you, Chris. And so I asked you, why would it not work for you?
Yeah, that's right, Filippo. When we talked earlier today, yeah, when you brought that up, and I told you how for 20 years I've had a hard time kind of coming up with a title for, and when Horse Whisperer comes up, my thought is that what happens is I feel a lot of people think that that initially means that somebody has a magic about them that's not available readily to everybody else, and I feel that the ability to connect with horses in the way we've been speaking about is a magic that is in all of us. It's in all of us. It just has to be remembered and reawakened.
And so with what about other animals? Obviously there's the horse is a much bigger animal, maybe more intelligent. I don't know, you tell me, us, but can somebody have those experiences that you're about to describe with other animals?
In my experience, yes. I have a clipboard. When I go do clinics and work with people in a group format, I have a clipboard that has just different forms in it, a list of ideas, a notepad to scribble down notes. And in the back of this clipboard is a saying, and I wrote it a long time ago. I just scribbled it in. It wasn't even a momentous moment. I just wrote it in the back of this clipboard, and it said, "Remember, Chris, you've never seen it not work." And what I was referring to was love and connection. Love and connection. There were times where I was like, I don't know if we're getting there, whether it be with working with a horse or a human or horse and human together. But what I found was, oh, it just needed time. It might have needed me to shift in a different way or have more patience or step back more. But eventually, doing this with working with people and horses now for really 23 years, I've never seen it not work. I've never seen the spark of connection within a human and a horse. And I use that example now because when I am around other animals, and I think I sneakily have believed in my mind that, oh, you can connect with horses and dogs and other wild animals, but no, not an ant. Not a moth, right? Like that's just too far away, too big a difference. But I keep proving myself wrong, or somebody else proves me wrong. So I am open to everything, and I have seen myself that if you can find it within you to have an open heart that is truly open, that whatever being is in front of you will find a way to meet that.
It seems to me you keep proving yourself right, because as the saying goes that you wrote, was it? You've never seen it not work?
Yeah, I was like, remember, Chris, you've never seen it not work.
So there
regarding love and connection. I've never seen a human or a horse or any animal that's not been able to feel that place within them.
So I liked your answer to my question of, can people experience this with animals? And you said, in my experience, yes. And it makes me think that potentially people have never experienced this, not because it's not possible, but they don't know how.
Well said. Well said. It's really just creating the time and space for it, I find, especially in this modern day world. And I've never not seen somebody get caught up in this, the fast pace of it. Even my teachers and mentors and everything else, if you're part of society, if you're part of culture and the structure of that, it can really take you for a ride. It can really move you pretty fast, and pretty soon your whole day feels like it's taking you, rather than you guiding it. And I find the greatest hurdle many times these days is just for someone to create the time and space to sit quietly, first and foremost with themselves, but then with friends, family, and hopefully eventually animals, because it does take a while. It does seem to take, anything's possible, but it does seem that you need to devote some time to it, to let yourself settle, to let go of all the thoughts that can be circulating around our brain, just to get ourselves in that moment. And sometimes it's the true work, is just giving yourself that space to be able to go out and be around animals.
Well, speaking of all that, I saw a video on your website and I was moved by it. At first, I felt like I was experiencing something new, and it was very new to me. What I didn't realize, that it was very new to you, Chris. So please tell us about that, which makes it even more fascinating.
Yeah, I have a big smile on my face as you bring me back to that. The idea that was very new to me as well. Me and my horse, Rocky, he was 21 years old. He just passed away earlier this spring. And he was the horse that I had the deepest connection with, by far, out of any horse that I've been around. And we've done many demonstrations at different expos and fairs and different things. And we were at one, this would have been 2019, and I went into it and I didn't know what I was going to do. I felt electric though. I felt electric. I felt like, you know, I was getting goosebumps. I'm like, something's coming. I have no idea what it is though. I'm completely free and open to what it might be. And then it came to me. I'm going to blindfold myself. I'm going to let Rocky go in this ring that we're in, let him be completely free, no equipment. And I'm just going to blindfold myself and see what happens. And I didn't know if it was going to be 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15. It ended up being around 50 minutes. And we ended up working together that whole time on the ground and in riding with no equipment on, and what's known as riding at liberty or bareback and bridleless, where it's just your connection with the horse. It's just your relationship and your feel talking to each other back and forth, that's guiding the horse as you're riding them. And I'd never done that before. And being blindfolded for that long took me inward to a place where Chris just faded away. Chris, the horseman, definitely faded away. Chris, the horse trainer, Chris, the guy that was there to give a demonstration and talk to the crowd, hey, that guy faded away. I had a microphone on the whole time, you know, but I just went to this place where I felt as innocently vulnerable, I think, as a human can. I felt like a little kid. I told you that earlier, Filippo, how I felt like a little kid in that sort of vulnerability of your whole self just exposed. And the reason why I say a little kid is because I also felt physically, you know, in harm's way. I felt like I could be physically hurt very easily. You know, there was times where I was riding with Rocky, I was sitting on him backwards, something we'd done before with my eyes open, where my 100% safety was in his hands. And I felt held by him. And not similarly, but the same way, I feel like that we wish to be held by our families and friends and all our relationships, where when we feel our most vulnerable in any way, we feel that they're there for us. And I felt that the more vulnerable I got, the deeper he grounded himself, the deeper he slowed down and let me know he was there. It was the most caring thing. And the only thing that was scary about it was if my mind went to the what ifs, the stories. If I let myself just feel what was there in the moment, was total safety. It was total safety. And so as I went around there and I don't know when I started talking to him, but I just started saying the same things over and over again. It was really just two phrases I was saying to him. I love you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I love you, brother. Thank you, brother. I just kept saying those things, whispering them, and my voice was trembling. I had no thought of, oh, I gotta keep going here, gotta make 50 minutes. I just knew I was supposed to keep going, and I had to do maybe the most courageous thing that we can do, I think, and that's to trust life, to trust the unknown of it, and to trust the feeling that's taking us forward, even though we don't know where it's leading. And when I stopped then and took the blindfold off, I felt like I'd just gone on a 100-year journey.
I asked you what you felt, and you not only said unconditional love, you described it exponentially. And so you said not 99% love. And to me, 99% unconditional love sounds quite amazing. But you said what?
Yeah, you got it. You got it. If when I was there blindfolded with Rocky, riding him, and I trusted him 99%, I couldn't have done it. I would have had to have taken the blindfold off and stopped right then and there. That 1% was not just equal to, but would have been more overwhelming than the 99% trust. And I'd venture to say that's true in a lot of relationships there, that if we trust ourselves or someone 99%, that 1% really is probably what's leading the way.
Wow.
More than the 99.
Wow. Well, before we go, I asked you, what did the horse feel? What did Rocky feel?
Oh, yeah. You've asked me some questions here, Filippo, and I've taken a while to answer them. This one's simple. It's one word. It's love. And as I speak on that here, tears come to my eyes. And that, to me, that's truth. There's no greater truth than that. And I guess that sums it up. That brings it full circle really well, because it shows that there is an equality in species right there, that an animal can feel this great, powerful energy, you know, that is so important to us in our lives. They can feel that just as much as us.
Wow. I feel like, well, like I said earlier, like we were going to talk about horses and talk about experiences. And what we're doing here is learning about ourselves, which gives us more credence to the we're all one thing.
100%. And that truth right there, when I find my way to it and I let it guide the way, it never leads me astray. You know, it never, I'll sometimes talk to myself and others and say, boy, you know, we're getting talking about a lot of things here that we can't say we can prove, you know, we can't say we can prove in any set ways. And proving something scientifically is pretty important, you know, for all of us to be able to agree on things and all of that. But I'll find that there's no greater proof than where what I feel is love and connection and truth, where that guides me to, what that leads me to. And therein lies the proof to me is when I feel that oneness you speak of, I always relax, I slow down, I take a big deep breath, I feel better about just about everything in the world. And I'm like, therein lies the proof right there. And you can feel that with an animal just as much as you can with a human. And that's what we're stepping into here. Yeah, that's what we're stepping into in this new future, is the ability to step forward beyond that part of humanity that saw animals as below us and is here to be used as we please, but to recognize that that oneness we can feel, they feel that too, and we share it with them. And every time you feel that in presence with a horse, 100% of the time, it leads you down a good road with them.
Well, Chris, your work is obviously very important to a lot of people and to more and more people. And I'm excited about it and I look forward to learning more. And if people are wanting to learn more, they can go to Chris Lombard, LOMBARD.com, and find him on Instagram at Chris Lombard. And I know people are finding you. I think you don't advertise, you don't promote. I'm delighted you came on the show, because I know you don't do these kinds of things. But thank you for being here with us and sharing from the heart as you have.
Filippo, Mark, I can't thank you enough for what you do, for the platform you give for people to speak from their hearts, and the opportunity you gave me to do the same tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Wow, Chris Lombard. Thank you. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Hi, Dorothy. This is Jimmy, and I just celebrated my 70th birthday, and I'm concerned that due to aging that I might not be able to maintain mental clarity. However, you demonstrate remarkable clarity even though you are years older than me. Please give me some ideas to assist me in manifesting continued clarity.
Dear Jimmy, thank you for this timely question. Taking care of our minds is just as important as taking care of our bodies. And when we have our frequent conversations, I see no decline in your ability to clearly communicate. So your first step is to release yourself from fear and continue to challenge yourself mentally. You already practice some of the most important steps to keeping a healthy mind. Exercise, mind breaks, meditation, continued learning, ample sleep, a healthy diet, new experiences, social connection, optimism, and Time in Nature are the 9 tips you will find in a wonderful Forbes article on how to sustain a youthful mind. So please be willing to do more of the 9 steps that aren't as predominant in your life as the others you have mastered. More exercise and time in nature are very important, and I know that both of us could use more of these 2 healthy habits. I look forward to continued mental clarity for both of us, and thank you for reminding me of the importance of these 9 steps by asking your question.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, Chloe, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and 4 legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and wow, what a conversation we've had. And before we move on, Mark, I know you have something you want to add.
Oh, I was thinking about the conversation, and so much of what he said is continuing to resonate. And I thought, you know, instead of horse whisperer, horse listener works.
Ooh.
Because that's ultimately what he taught me, but what he teaches everyone. And I was thinking about his opening statement that if humans also put their vocal senses to last, I think the world would be a better place.
Nice. I like that. And there it is. So thank you for sharing that. And a big thank you again to Chris Lombard. And our performance guest is a singer. She's a songwriter. And actually, she's got many special talents we'll talk about in just a few moments. She is Chloe. Welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hi.
Hi. So good to have you on. And I was going to say, we have Colin Martin to thank for introducing us to you, but we have him to thank because, is he right there with you?
He is right next to me.
Nice. Hey, Colin, thank you so much. You've shared so many wonderful guests with us, and you've shared such great music and connection with so many people through what you're doing. Is it calling you home, right? Calling you home.
We like to flip the script, Colin. We're calling you home.
I always feel at home with you guys.
Exactly.
So Chloe, we had such a great conversation earlier today, and it's so funny because I want to talk about all of it. But let's just start. What prompted you to start being a YouTube influencer or just sharing videos of you on YouTube?
I started making videos when I was 14. I had just moved from a very small private school where I like grew up with the kids my entire life to a really big public school where I didn't know anyone and I was really lonely, and would come home every day and watch YouTubers, and they would make me feel like I had friends, like they felt like my friends. And then I just thought maybe I could do this and I could be that for others. And so, yeah, I started making YouTube videos around that age, also heavily inspired by iCarly and yeah, wanting to have my own little web show.
So. And of course, everybody was saying, go, Chloe, go do this. What a great idea.
No, not exactly. I actually kept it a secret from everyone until, like, my family knew, but I kept it a big secret at my school until I had, like, maybe 200,000 subscribers, because it was really embarrassing back then to put videos on the internet, especially the kind I was making. Like, I was making makeup videos, and I had no idea how to do makeup, and so... It was kind of embarrassing. I remember my sisters laughed at me when I said I was going to do a giveaway when I hit 100 subscribers. They were like, there's no way you're ever going to get that.
Wow. Thank you, sis.
Yeah.
Shout out to sis. Yeah. Well, you know, that's exciting. And you went through a few changes while you were doing that, obviously, right? I mean, Actually... more than a few.
Yeah, lots of changes. My channel really grew as I grew, which was really beautiful to just have it all documented, like all my high school moments, prom, and what your first kiss is like, and talking about getting my period, and like decorating my locker, just everything. Like, basically, I was really relatable for a lot of girls my age. And then, yeah, my content just continued to change as I evolved. And I feel like music is just an extension of that for me. It's just like another evolution creatively that I'm stepping into. And I hope that my followers will join me on this step in my evolution as well.
Nice. What was that transition like for you?
Well, I basically quit making videos back in 2020. I just knew that it wasn't serving me anymore. I was feeling really depleted every time I finished filming. I just felt like I was playing this character that I had created, and it was just not who I was anymore. And music was just like pulling me and calling me. And I'm not really the type of person who can do two things at once. Like, I really pour my entire heart into what I'm doing. And especially with the way YouTube was depleting me, it felt like it was like suffocating my creative life force energy. So,
well, at that point, it wasn't just the videos. You had a production team, right? And you had a full-blown company going.
Yeah. And I was like, also really, I was making content that was drawing in a lot of attention from like a very young audience, sometimes as young as like 4 years old.
Oh, like, wow.
Young girls. And so I was also getting a lot of requests for sponsorships from doll companies. And I was, wow. I had like two sponsorship requests from different doll companies in 1 month. And I was just like, I feel really weird. Like, I'm 21 playing with dolls and making these like really childlike videos that did bring me a lot of joy at one point, but it wasn't what excited me anymore. And so, yeah, I just said goodbye to it all at probably the peak of my YouTube career, which was you know, probably confusing for a lot of people, but I just trusted that following my heart is what's the most important. And I just live a very authentic life, and I can't do something when it doesn't feel authentic to me. So,
nice. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And your music, at least all the music I've heard, so speaks to that. As a matter of fact, let's hear something. Actually, are you going to do the one I think you're going to do? Or are you going to do a little one first?
Yeah, let's okay. do a little one.
Yeah, so I guess we have to talk about that first, because that was the whole unconditional love conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really beautiful how it's all tying together. I really enjoyed your conversation with Christopher and all the wisdom he shared.
And so, agreed. Thank you. And unconditional love. So where did that come to play, and when in your life in a big way?
Well, this song I'm about to sing is, I actually wrote it like right after I decided it was time to leave a relationship that I felt like was not serving me or my inner child. And it was just like, it actually came out of this moment where I was like, I felt my inner child just like begging this man to love me and hold me and keep me safe. And he wasn't. It was actually the opposite. He was, you know, creating a lot of havoc in my mind. And I like heard that little girl inside me that was begging to be loved. And I turned to her and I was like, I got you. I love you. I can hold you now. We don't need him anymore. Like, let's go. I'm gonna like scoop you up and rescue you. And that's really what it felt like. And then this song just poured out of me.
Well, here it is, live on the Life Changes show. Here's Chloe, accompanied by Colin Martin, and her song, Little One.
October, that fateful day, you came into my life. But it's over, as quick as you came, you left October night. I didn't want it to end. But it's time I let her in. Little one, let me take her to the mountains, take her to a safe place, wrap her in a hug, let me fill her up, tell her she's enough, give her all my love. Little one, it's been a year with you, but it's been 3 years that I let her down, that I let a man come into my life and give love, then take it away. I'm grateful for what you taught me, 'cause you taught me to choose myself. Little one, let me take her to the mountains, take her to a safe place, wrap her in a hug, let me fill her up, tell her she's enough, give her all my love. Little one, let me take her to the ocean, feel all her emotions, wipe away your tears, hold all of her fears, let me hold you here, show you crystal clear, you're not too much to love. Oh, little one, you're not too much to love. Oh, little one. Something about how the leaves die in the fall, but a part of me died, the part
needed you at all. Take her to the mountains, take her to a safe place, wrap her in a hug, let me fill her up, tell her she's enough, give her all my love. Little one, let me take her to the ocean, feel all her emotions, wipe away your tears, hold all of her fears, let me hold you here, show you crystal clear. You're not too much to love. Oh, little one, you're not too much to love. Oh, little one, you're not too much to love. Oh, little one, you're not too much to love. Oh, little one, little one, little one.
Hmm, Chloe, thank you for that.
Hmm.
Thank you. I feel like you were singing to my little one.
Oh. That's how I hope it's felt.
That's how you roll, Chloe. You're an influencer. Through and through. And you know what? We need more people who would say, no, I can't make money doing that. It's not me. It doesn't bring me joy anymore. Like you were saying earlier, I'm telling you, this is very, very exciting. And if you want to follow Chloe, Chloe is C-L-O-E, and you could find her all over, literally. But we have all her links up on the Life Changes show page for her. But is there one or two in particular you want to give out, Chloe?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just at C-L-O-E, Chloe, on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Music. And yeah, I have a music video I released recently for a song, California.
Yeah.
Which we're also going to sing today. So
you are. Okay. Well, but before you do, you know, it's funny. 2020 is when a lot of people started making videos. Mm-hmm. Because that's when everybody was home, right? And you stopped making videos in 2020. It's like you're tuned into something. And so, speaking of, did you find a gift, or had you been keeping it quiet from yourself about tuning in and channeling?
I feel like I've always been a writer ever since I was young. Like I actually used to have a keyboard in my room, and it had a few like presets of songs it would play, and one of them was My Heart Will Go On, and I would just have that play on repeat and like write my own like melodies and lyrics to it. I like wrote my first heartbreak song when I was 10, and I had my first heartbreak. And so yeah, singing and channeling songs and stories has always been something I've really loved and something I've shut down for so much of my life. And like I said, at that time when I was making videos, it just like, you know, towards the end, it was like this burning passion in me that was like, it can no longer be stifled. And so, yeah, I'm really enjoying exploring all sorts of music expression, and including like pure channel freestyle flow, improvisational singing, which I actually did yesterday at the beach to close out Ecstatic Dance. I've been just like, nice. Yeah, channeling kind of angelic frequencies with my voice, and you know, calling upon angels and guides. And yesterday I called upon the whales and the orcas to sing through me, and you know, wow. Some people came to me and said that they cried, and it brought up so many emotions for different people. So that's been like a really beautiful part of my music journey as well.
Wow, that is beautiful. Well, I know you're out and about singing. You're going to be singing this weekend. And so again, go to CLOE on Instagram, and well, she's all over. And we've got actually the song California on the Life Changes Show page. It's on YouTube. But we're going to get to hear Live Unplugged. This is exciting. And tell us what it's about. Because it's not really about California, right?
You know, that's kind of the question of the song. Is it about California or is it about something else? And honestly, I still haven't fully figured it out. So I'm also along for the ride. But yeah, I mean, creating this song was such a fun process. Colin produced it. And we brought in a whole little live orchestra into a studio and like recorded the whole thing live. I ended up like putting out a live version and a studio version, but that was my first time recording with like an orchestra, like a bunch of really talented instrumentalists. So it was a dream come true for sure.
How exciting. And is this your first music video also?
This is actually my second music video. The first one I did was me in like a rocket ship.
Okay.
Yeah, being like a space pop star with a like sexy astronaut boyfriend. Okay. Well, this one for California is very different. Just like me on the beach at Joshua Tree, like natural. Yeah, sweet.
It is. It's very sweet. Well, here we get to hear it live, unplugged, with Colin Martin accompanying Chloe and her song California here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, live.
Maybe it's California, or maybe it's you. I just keep trying to find you, but I think I'm scared to. I don't really know what I was looking for. When I drove back to your house, hey, I don't really know what I am searching for, but I'm trying to figure it out. So why am I still thinking about you after all this time? I know I shouldn't have to, but I do. Oh, am I still getting over you? You. I guess I didn't. Someone else now, and it's killing him to know how I still think about you, dream about you, write about you. Is it true? On my mind, or is it that I still love you? The fact that I never left you, the fact that I'm still chasing you, or is it just California? Oh, I it's just California. I hope it's just California. I hope it's just California.
Chloe and California. Well, find Chloe on Instagram at CLOE and all over everything, CLOE. That's Chloe. That's Chloe. Yes. And you're a delight. And Colin Martin, your music did not get, it was not lost on any of us, that beautiful background you were doing while Chloe was speaking. We liked it. We liked it. And of course, while she was singing, can you plug real quick, Colin, you home?
Yes, of course. Chloe, do you want to?
Yeah. So Colin and I and a few other musician friends are going.
Six other musician friends
are going on tour.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah, we're making about an 8-day road trip around California to activate, you know, communities through song, dance, breath work, meditation, home cooked food in a house concert setting. We're going a house concert tour, and as a collective. And it's really fun experience. We're really looking forward to it. And in fact, I will also plug that we have a GoFundMe campaign running right now to help put the wind in our wings to make this easeful and graceful so we can focus on delivering our message and our medicine.
And do you have a link?
Of course.
Or a webpage?
Yeah. We can share that with you.
Okay. Is it like, can you share it on? Is it something that we could post?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Amazing. No, I was thinking, but you have a website also. Do you want to just mention the website?
The website. Well, it's not on a website.
Oh, okay.
You can find it on all of our Instagram pages. Oh. And
for Colin You Home, right?
Yes, Colin. That's C-O-L-I-N.
Y-H-O-M-E. Well, great. And so you're touring California with this. You've been doing it here for a long time, and now you're touring California, and people will say, is it just California? Is it calling you home?
Well, we're looking at Portugal.
Oh.
We're looking
at Japan.
Oh.
We're looking at Denmark and Brazil. And what are some other cool places that would like to have a high vibes house concert?
Right.
Bring us in. Bring us home.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, this was a wonderful surprise to get both of you. But Chloe, just wishing you all the best. I think we talked about all the things that I said, okay, we'll make sure we talk about that. But someday, hopefully, we'll get to talk about all the other stuff.
Yeah, I could just talk and talk. So.
I hear it, and I encourage you to do so, because it's lovely listening to you. Especially, see, this was the thing that you said, right now I'm all about unconditional love and expansion and growth and taking care of who?
Me. And my little one.
And your little one. Well, we wish you and your little one and your music and your career and everything that you're about all the best.
Thank you. So thank you for having me.
It's been our pleasure. So with another big thank you to Chloe and, of course, Colin Martin, and a big thank you to our interview guest, Chris Lombard. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.